Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the cheat code, sis?
If you know how to sell a product in your business, you know how to sell yourself to get money.
Grants was like a bailout.
People will literally apply for 100 jobs to get a $17 an hour salary, but then they won't apply to 100 grants to get $50,000. Trust me, I do be wanting to cuss people out sometimes.
I'm sorry, I had a flashback to the old me. Men will accuse you of being a gold digger. What gold do you have for me to dig, sir?
I still solo travel. That's going to be in our prenup.
Wait a minute. No. You were just out here doing free classes.
I'll be on live on Instagram and be like, okay, y'all, let's take this to Zoom because I want to show y'all how this thing works.
What's fulfilling or rewarding for you?
It's like seeing people actually feel worthy.
Welcome to another episode of Full Transparency with Donnie Wiggins, where we have discussions with entrepreneurs who are doing amazing things. And I am super excited to get to know an outstanding entrepreneur that I've not yet met. We have been talking off camera for just a few minutes, and the energy is amazing, honey, and the beauty to match. I cannot wait to uncover the story behind Miss Stormy Banks. Hey, Stormy.
Hey, Donnie.
How are you?
Good. I'm glad to be here.
I am glad to have you here. It's actually a pleasure to have you. You know how sometimes you don't know somebody when you're walking in the room. How have we not crossed paths before?
No, we have a couple of times, but we've never just been formally introduced, but we've crossed.
Okay. You're recently relocated to Atlanta.
Yes, August. I got here in August.
August. So about a year ago, almost. Yeah. A year ago. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do, Stormy?
I'm a grant writer.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's literally my day job. I write grants all day. I own a full service grant writing company called Pink Print. Mm-hmm. That's all we do.
This is all you do.
All.
Do you have a focus, like a particular type of audience that you write grants for in a certain category?
Yeah, we love for-profit and nonprofit minority-owned businesses specifically.
Okay.
We don't have like an industry basis that we focus on, but we just love the minorities because, of course, like there's this huge wealth gap and we just like to do our part with trying to like close that together a bit.
For profit, not for profit, minority owned, any industry business. Mm-hmm. Are you good at this?
Oh, we're excellent.
You're excellent.
Yeah, we're ranked higher than most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're really good at it.
Let's talk about it. How did you get into grant writing? Like, I learned about grants after I'd already become an entrepreneur.
Okay.
You know what? When I was introduced to grants, it was like back in the day when I had lost everything. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling, can't pay my bills. I'm about to foreclose on my house. Car's up for repossession. And someone suggested that I apply for a grant at that time. So the mindset that I had, and of course this was a long time ago, but somebody else could be feeling like this. The mindset that I had at that time was that grants was like a bailout. Mm-hmm. Also, when you're thinking about like when you're in high school and you're applying for college and stuff, grants, you typically couldn't qualify for grants if you made too much money or lived in certain areas. So I always associated grants with like hardship. Let's talk about grants.
Yeah, I love that too, because there's probably a lot of people who think that and that couldn't be farther from the truth. Mm-hmm. I'm like, grants should actually be the first option because I think we're so accustomed to going and getting loans because it's like what has always been sold to us, right? Okay. It's just like having Popeyes and McDonald's on every block in the hood.
Okay.
Loans is, and credit cards is the first thing that they come to sell you because we're the ones who need money more because we're not making as much as our counterparts. So, but grants is available. And I think people should go for them first because everyone is qualified. If you have a business, a website, a business bank account, you can, there's a grant for you, right? Mm. It may not be $1 million grant when you're going for it, but there's grants for startups, grants for people who've been in business for years, grants for corporations. all over across the board.
Mm-hmm. So I read that you've secured over $17 million yes. in grant funding
mm-hmm.
for specifically for entrepreneurs.
Yes.
What's the cheat code, sis? What are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, for one, we've worked with a lot of businesses at this point. So, of course, those numbers are because of how many people we've actually, like, served. Mm-hmm. But also, we have, like, a formula. Our formula really started with simply me trial and error on my own. And I was in desperation time when I first started writing grants. And I was going through no credit, no revenue in my company. And I was like, I need to make something shake because I'm back at my mother's house and this is not the vibe.
When is this? When
this is August 17, 2022.
Okay. Oh, wow. So this is really recent.
Yes.
That you've taken off in this way. So mm-hmm. you're going through your own hardship.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you start researching funding that's available to you.
Absolutely.
Okay, take me through the story.
Yeah, and I'm getting denied, or I'm just seeing that I don't qualify because either revenue, don't have the tax returns, don't have the cash flow, don't have the credit. All these things are denying me, and I fell upon this congressional hearing by the grace of God. It was so crazy and mysterious. I couldn't tell you how to get back, but when I watched it, they were literally in there talking about, okay, we're giving $3 trillion to education this year. Agriculture Department, okay, we'll give $4 trillion to them. And I'm like, okay, they're just giving away all this money to these departments. How do we access this money? Like, where is it going?
Mm-hmm.
Fell in this crazy rabbit hole. And I'm like, there's grants for these businesses. Like, if you're a small business or a nonprofit serving certain missions,
mm-hmm.
the money is available to you, you mm-hmm. know, through these different departments. So that's the rabbit hole story.
I love that. So I told you that my first association went top of mind when I first learned about the idea of grant.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to you, like in hardship. Looking for money, right? But the second thing that I know, or that I know is a popular belief about grants, is that they're impossible to get.
Yeah.
So hard to get. You have to jump through all of these hoops to even get on the table to have the conversation. How do you get qualified for a grant? Like, what makes yeah. you a candidate for funding?
You're already qualified. That's the craziest part, is literally having the business qualifies you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's eligibility requirements, like 18 years or older, U.S.-based business, have to be. Sometimes there's like, okay, we want you to make at least $50,000 in one annual year, or we want you to have less than 500 employees. You know, there's little certain tricks and nuggets in that realm. But again, there's so many grants
mm-hmm.
that there's one for everyone at mm-hmm. any stage of their business. And you just have to go out and find them, because people will literally apply for 100 jobs mm-hmm. to get a $17 an hour salary or you know, pay. But then they won't apply to 100 grants to get a $50,000 grant that you never have to pay back, that you can use to build your own legacy. I don't understand why people would rather say getting a grant is a lottery, but they won't say getting a job is a lottery. Like, it's the same process.
Immediately, instant mindset shift. Instant mindset shift, because I have been that girl. I have been that girl applying for job after job after job. And I've also been that girl who's been forwarded a link to apply for a grant.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the process. I look at the paperwork that they want, and I'm out of there.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm out of there. Okay, y'all don't be like me. Listen. I've been in business for some time now, right? And even I want a grant now. I can still qualify for some Absolutely. Grant funding. Y'all don't be like me. We're about to find out how to get money for your business. So to my understanding, like, there's really nothing that you can't use the grant for. If you need to hire people on your team, if you need more inventory, if you need to invest in systems and technology, am I correct here?
Absolutely. You just can't use it for bills.
Okay.
And sometimes it's frowned upon when you try to pay consulting fees.
Okay.
Through grants. A lot of grant writers will try to charge a percentage of the grant that they write. They'll like, well, I'll write myself in as a 10 or 20% consultant.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually against federal regulation.
Okay.
But some people still do it because they're unethical, unfortunately. Okay. But other than that, yeah.
Is this a process that you would recommend that somebody go through and attempt on their own? Or what's the best way?
Genuinely, I think anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to say you got to hire a grant writer. No, you actually really can do it. Like, if you know how to sell a product in your business, you know how to sell yourself to get money. Like, that's a skill that you clearly have. If you don't know how to do that, then now you might want to seek professional help. But mm-hmm. if you've made one sale in your business ever,
ever.
You know how to sell yourself.
If you've gotten a job.
If you've gotten a job. If you've gotten even the college, you know, scholarships. Mm-hmm. You know how to create a story to tell someone to mm-hmm. entice them to give you money. That's the foundation of being a grant writer.
Okay. I know that you're a grant writer and mm-hmm. you offer it for a service. But if there were someone who wanted to say, let me just peek at this. Mm-hmm. Let me become familiar with this. Mm-hmm. What would you suggest is the first place they start?
Well, we host classes okay. all the time specifically for that because not everyone has the luxury of hiring a grant writer, right, mm-hmm. with the fees. And so we always are hosting, like, classes that they can take, mm-hmm. summits, seminars, in-person, online, virtual. And I think that those give you a good precursor of the actual rules and regulations around it, mm-hmm. give you proper information so that you know how to, if you do want to hire someone outside of us, you at least know what to look for, you mm-hmm. know, and then how the grant process and writing process goes.
I think that is so awesome of you that even though you're a grant writer, you're like, look, I understand that not everybody is going to work with me either due to financial restraint or mm-hmm. personality conflict, whatever the conflict may be. And it's like, but I'll still teach you. Like, I'll still put you on and tell you where to go to mm-hmm. get the money, what you should look out for, who you should look out for. That's really, really, really awesome of you.
Because I remember where I was in 2020, right? I couldn't afford to pay somebody $2,000 to write a grant or $500 to write a grant. But if
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Somebody was teaching a $5 class or a $35 class that I could go to. I wanted the information. I wanted to be able to access it. It was just the circumstances were not, you know, there for me to do that. So I'm like, I got to pay it forward. I promise God, if he uplifted me out of my situation, I will always pay it back. So that's part of my mission.
So what were you doing before grant writing?
I was a hairstylist.
No way.
It was.
A complete shift.
Yes.
Talk about getting from behind the chair. Do you know how many hairstylists, like, they just want to get off their feet and from behind the chair?
Yes.
You don't do anything in the beauty industry anymore?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Yeah, I was a hairstylist from 18 to maybe 25.
Were you good?
Oh, the best.
Really?
Girl, listen. I was in New York. I got trained by all the best, you know, stylists on Vidal Sassoon cuts, on wigs, on color. I was cold. I was working in top salons, Lower East Side, like making mad money. I was lit.
So obviously there was a transition, though, for you in terms of your success. What happened?
COVID. New York was shut down for like 6-8 months and nobody could work. And at that time during COVID, I had already transitioned to start being a business owner. So I had a mobile hair salon, you know, where we had a few girls going around in the tri-state area doing at-home hair services called Just Hair, which we still have, but it's not, you know, where it is, where it was. Mm-hmm. And with that mobile salon service, it shut down, right? Because of COVID.
Was it heartbreaking? Like, were you ready to get out of the industry? Or was this like, man, this is really heartbreaking. I'm losing my business right in front of me.
You know, I had already transitioned from not doing the actual service anymore. And I was a full on like business owner. Mm-hmm. But I had dedicated my whole life to thinking that I was going to be this person. And the shift between who I thought I was going to be, that was the hard part, is like really pivoting between, okay, I'm no longer the person I literally spent my last 10 years becoming.
Who'd you think you were becoming?
I thought I was going to end up owning like a huge salon in Atlanta. And I thought that I was going to have this whole hair care line And I just thought I was just going to, like, be crazy in the beauty industry and at, like, the top level of, like, you know, Bronner Brothers shows, like, just doing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Is it a relief for you now where you are at this point in your life and at this point in your career? Do you feel like it's a relief that you're no longer having to? The beauty industry is a different type of hustle.
Yeah.
For sure. I know a lot of people who are in ownership. I know a lot of people who are stylists. And they are desperately seeking a different solution for whatever the reason is.
Yeah.
Do you feel like now that you've transitioned into grant writing and offering this as a service, this is like a huge relief for you in terms of scaling your life?
I think I have more time when it comes to grant writing, but I still want to open my salon. I want to open it because I don't want it to feel like it was taken. The opportunity was taken from me, you know? So I still want to do it. I love hair. What I do now is so, like, logical that I don't really get to express my creativity as much as I used to. You know, I remember times in New York going to festivals. I had pink afro. Like, I dyed my afro pink and was rocking it, like, living my life. Mm-hmm. But now I'm, like, put together and professional and, you know, doing these, you know, type of things. And I'm like, man.
So tell me about that. You got to be super creative, you know, on one hand. So that has to be someone who lives inside of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're extremely polished. You look amazing. I mean, not to say that you didn't look amazing and polished at that time, but this is a complete transition, right? How do you, is this a code switch for you? Or is this also who you sincerely want to show up as?
I think those two things can be true at the same time.
Okay.
I think two things can be true at the same time. I think that I crave for more opportunities to be more creative in my daily life.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that this is a part of me that has developed through the things that I've gone through. And I appreciate, you know, how she shows up. And I'm happy that I have that versatility now, you know, those other parts of me that can be more versatile in different rooms. So, you know, when I need to put on a suit, I can do that. And when I, you know, get to just be walking around in the dirt, I'll do that too.
We'll do that too. So that was something like the code switch was something that I struggled with very early on in my career. I've been a full-time entrepreneur since 2014, but I've been an entrepreneur for as long as I can remember. Right. And have you ever worked in corporate?
No.
No. Mm-mm. Okay. So you don't know this feeling, but I worked in corporate, and maybe you've called your homegirl at work before and she picks up that phone and the voice is completely different. It's like, hello, it's a great day at such and such and such and such. We're happy to help you. And I could remember, like, people would call my office and be so startled that that voice was me. Right. Mm-hmm. But it was also, I felt like, an imposed requirement of who I had to show up as. And so I always told myself that if I ever had the opportunity to become like my own boss and work for myself, like, the first thing that I wanted to do was to be absolutely true to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm naturally well spoken, so that wasn't really difficult for me, but I didn't want to wear the suits anymore. I was in suits and pantyhose and high heels and all these things very early on. Just to start my company, Stormy, and because I am a business coach, because I'm a mentor and I'm a speaker, I'm like, I'm still in these dang on suits.
And pantyhose.
I'm still in these pantyhose. Yeah. I'm still in these heels. I'm still in these suits. And I don't know, as time has gone on, I don't know if it's age that's brought me to this point or simply me just, like, the world has changed, I think, as well. And where men couldn't wear short sleeve shirts in the office at one time to be considered professional. Now they're wearing t-shirts,
right?
You know, and they are some of the top income earners and all those things. It was just a struggle for me. So when I see you showing up and hearing that you used to wear pink hair and I used to wear pink hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a whole hot pink bob.
And I'm telling you, those, like, outlets of, like, allowing you to just, like, be who you are, those are important. I do think they get overshadowed with professionalism because, like, what is that for real? Like, I think that's a joke, honestly. Yeah. I think that people need to perceive someone as, like, authoritative, and be in order to do that, you have to be buttoned up and, you know, have this certain look. But I'm like, if somebody knows what they're talking about and they show good quality, good character, why can't that be professional?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because yeah. somebody could easily fake put on a suit and wear a bob and do the I do taxes pose.
For sure. And because we all have that one headshot. We all it's wait, it's the arm for me. I think mine is on my podcast cover right now.
I got one, trust me.
We all have that. Look, I'm gonna need y'all to go to Pinterest and find some other poses because that one is outdone. I don't know if we need this pose anymore, but you're right.
Yeah.
What is professional, you know, in this space? Have you had to deal with any challenges being a minority woman in this space of writing grants?
Not honestly, no, because of the community that I chose to serve. Mm-hmm. I get pretty well received, and I'm pretty good at articulating, you know, my thoughts in a clear manner so that people understand it on a very kindergarten level most of the times. And I think that education that we really focus on in our business is mm-hmm. what draws people to us more than anything.
Okay. To be as successful as you are now as a grant writer, what does that look like in terms of operations? Do you have a large team? Tell me about your business.
Yeah, we do. And it's ever changing, honestly. It's multi-department, multi-managers of departments, CEO, CFO, COOs.
You're not the CEO of your company?
I am.
Oh, you are. Okay.
But we're actually hiring. We're interviewing to find a CEO. My goal is to be out of this position and relaunching in 2025. So we're avidly working on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have an office that you work out of, or
no,
is it virtual?
We're all virtual.
Everyone's yeah. virtual.
Mm-hmm.
And is everyone in all over the world, all over the country?
All in U.S., but all over, yeah, the country.
Okay. So you have a pretty large team. How many people do you employ?
There's 15 full-time and there's 10 part-time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's a typical day like for you as a CEO?
Typical day. I wake up. I try to wake up around like 7:30 is comfortable. It used to be like 10, which I love to go back to 10 o'clock wake up.
Why was the change necessary?
I just needed to get more done. I just needed more time in a day, honestly. So I woke. Now I'm up at like 7:30. Gym, get back, shower, and I'm on calls. Like immediately, it's calls. Sometimes I get a mix up where I can like go travel for 2 days. I got to go speak at something or I have to go do this, but it's calls.
Okay.
I'm on the phones.
Who are you talking to? Like, are you talking to the grant? What are they called? The people who give you the grant?
Grantors.
The grantors. Mm-hmm. Are you talking to the grantors? Are you talking to the applicants?
So I sit on a couple boards. I'm in board meetings. I'm talking to my team constantly, having different strategy calls between the different departments. I'm talking to clients. You mm-hmm. know, I don't handle a lot of the clients, but I do have some that I really like to keep close to. So I talk to them constantly, talk to my family,
okay.
you know, throughout the day. And they have to schedule meetings at this point in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me more about that, please.
Because, you know, I got to this point where I was on D&D. Like, I was like, okay, it's too many people texting, calling, Instagram, emails. Like,
show you my phone right now.
I'm telling you. D&D. So I'm like, y'all, just get my link if we need to, like, chat it up.
Get my link. You are not giving your family the link to get on your calendar.
Here's the link, y'all. And, you know, after work, cool, call me whatever. But, like, sometimes they just be
wanting to talk.
Wanting to chat it up.
What you eating today?
Which I love. But I'm like, let's schedule it. Let's just talk for an hour and, like, just debrief at lunch, whatever you want to do.
Okay. Okay. All right. Make sure this is a clip. Friends. Family mom, if I forward you a link to book a call with me, know that it's because of Stormy Banks. All right? She says that it works in her life. It works for you.
I love it.
Nobody's offended.
No. And all my siblings are like high executives or medical school. Like, they're all busy people. So it honestly is like, hey.
Okay. So that's a slightly different dynamic.
Yeah, it works.
Okay.
It works for us. We love it.
What's the best thing about your business right now? Like, what's fulfilling or rewarding for you?
Seeing people win money is honestly like that's the best thing. It's like seeing people actually feel worthy, mm-hmm. that their business is worthy. They're like, oh my gosh, I started this business on a Women of Prayer. All I had was $10 in my account, you know, whatever the case may be. And to actually be, you know, have someone tell them like, hey, you deserve to get this funding and grow your business. Like mm-hmm. that is always heartfelt. And then my, one of the goals that I've always had in my business is I wanted to pay people livable salaries. I wanted to pay people with healthcare benefits. Like, we're finally at that point.
Yeah.
And it took a really, not a long time because we haven't been open that long.
I'm like, but you just opened. Yeah, it
didn't take a long time. But for me, what I knew my goals were from the beginning, it felt like I wasn't getting there. And I wanted to honor the people that work really hard for
us. So speaking of the time that you've been in business, obviously you were an entrepreneur, but in the beauty industry in a mm-hmm. totally different lane. In this industry, you've been in business for 2 years.
Yeah, three. March was three.
March was three. Mm-hmm. March made three years. Okay, so it wasn't 2022?
It was 2021 when we launched.
Okay, mm-hmm. 2021 when you launched. You've been in business for 3 years at mm-hmm. this point. What's the strategy to your wild success? Like, you have become wildly successful. There are grant writers looking at this right now like, how? Mm-hmm. How is she writing for this many clients? What's your secret to success?
Results. Like, you don't have to make that up.
Okay.
I think people strive to get clients before they strive to have a good product.
Let's talk about it.
And that was our main thing. And I was like, if we get results, we will win for a lifetime.
Okay.
No one will question that if we actually have proof in the pudding.
So when you started the business, did you start like a beta program where you said like, look, let's try to get grants for like 5 people, 10 people, 20 people before we make this a public offer?
We were doing classes, free online Zoom classes. Mm-hmm. Literally, I'll be on live on Instagram, be like, okay, y'all, let's take this to Zoom because I want to show y'all how this thing works. We will be on there for 2-3 hours and I'll be breaking down a grant forum, helping them apply for it. It will be 50, 20 people on there. And then they was like, well, can you just do this for us? And once that kind of kept, you know, coming
that
up.
That wasn't even your intention at first.
No.
No. You were just out here doing free classes.
My passion was educating. Yeah. And then I was like, well, I'm going to serve the calling. Okay.
If y'all are calling, we're going to pick it up.
I'm going to serve the calling. And, you know, I just was like, but then how, right? Because okay. the operations and the just customer service, all mm-hmm. the things that I really wasn't excited about that mm-hmm. I kind of had got freedom from doing hair. I was like, okay, I'm about to take this all up all over again. Do I really want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And we did it though.
And you did it.
And we're doing it.
Okay. But still, there's someone who's doing all those things.
Mm-hmm.
They are getting, you know, they're offering courses or offering workshops, masterclasses. They're struggling to get one person
mm-hmm.
To join them on a Zoom. What do you think? Were you already popular before you launched this business where you had a level of support of people who were just going to come with you anyway into whatever industry you went into?
I had 2,000 followers and I had just gotten robbed by my best friend. I didn't have no support. I didn't have no popularity. I came in, nobody knew me, nobody knew my name, nobody cared. So, you know.
And now 3 years later, hold on, we're at 147,000 followers. You started with two. What's this robbed by my best friend?
Yeah, that's what happened after I had to move to Tennessee from New York when New York shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Tennessee to my mother's and to work in my best friend's salon because, you know, Atlanta and Tennessee, they were still open during COVID. I was like, I got to get some
We
coin.
Never closed.
Yeah. And so I was working with her and I was saving up tips and whatever money I had because I was staying at my mother's house. Me and her moved in together. And I was like, okay, girl, well, I'm about to maybe go check out this place in Atlanta and open me a salon because I had saved up like almost $50,000 at the time. And I was FaceTiming her while I was in Atlanta, showing her everything. You know, your bestie. You like, yeah. girl, look at all this stuff. Whole time she was plotting.
What?
I went back from my trip to the apartment. The keys were locked on the door. They were changed. My keys didn't work on the lock on the door. And when I kicked the door down.
Wait a minute. Wait, when you did what?
Story? When I kicked it down, because my money was in there, cash. Went back in the closet where it was, and it was gone.
Did she know that you had that money in there?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That wasn't a secret. So that happened, which made me be like, I think that really made the hunger for like getting money really come about. So when I was staying at my mom's house and I was just like researching online.
Wait, because you skipped the part after you kicked the door down and saw that your money was gone. You skipped the part where you caved her chest in.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I had a flashback to the old me. Flashback to the old me. How did you handle that?
Yeah. I skipped it because it didn't happen. Yeah. Yeah, that, it was so crazy. The police came because the neighbors was like, somebody's trying to break into this apartment. So they called the police on me. Police knocked on whatever of a door was left and was like, you all right now? I was like, yeah, I'm just back here like gathering my stuff. Like I'm like packing up my stuff. I had called my mother. I'm like, mom, come get me. I just kicked the door in. She stole my money. Mom, oh Lord. So she on the way. And they were like, okay, well, we have to call homegirl because we need to see if you stole any of her stuff. Cause this could be bigger than just you breaking the door down. So they called her. She comes from the salon and tells them, okay, she didn't steal nothing. At this point, they had me in handcuffs. They was about to take me to jail.
What?
Yeah, and my mom was like, they stole her money. Don't take her to jail. They stole her money. And he was like, if you can prove that you had that money, you know, we'll go and search and see, and then we can kind of justify the actions and whatever. So we were able to show it because I had had it through bank statements and stuff. And searched it, didn't find it, and they ended up, like, letting me go. But, yeah, I was going to be in jail. And it didn't, me and her didn't, we didn't get that opportunity. And I didn't want it after that, you know? That was the crazier thing. And people was like, you are scary, why you ain't do stuff? You know, like, there were so many commentaries of what I would have did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's you.
Yeah.
Me, I'm not a revenge type of person. Like, I honestly, truly understand. My mother said something to me. She said, what's $50,000 to a millionaire? I had goals so big already. I was literally planning to open a salon in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm focused on something already. I have a mission already for something. I had already lit my candles and did my meditation, and I was already there mentally. So this wasn't something that it set me back, but it didn't get me out of character.
Yeah.
And that's just what it was.
I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about my character.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Character in this moment. I am analyzing and auditing my character because you're right. I'm thinking about, like, I joke, like, you know, you didn't kick her next. There is a version of me that probably would have reacted that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I, too, had a very, very, very hurtful situation happen with a sister, best friend of mine, who ended up dealing with someone that I dealt with on a very deep level, right? And was in my face the whole time while it was happening. I wasn't dealing with him at that time anymore. But, you know, once you've marked your territory, that's betrayal.
Yeah.
That's absolute betrayal. And, you know, she's traveling to go and see him and all these things. And I just, when I found out about it, I remembered all of the conversations that she and I had had at one point, like, girl, because he did this and he's this and oh my God, I just love him. And you know, all these things.
Yep.
And I found out about it because we still share a friend group.
Right.
I'm not really the person that's going to make you choose sides, especially because I had come into that friend group later than she did. Right. Mm-hmm. It's just keep her away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember, like, I've been around her so many times, I don't acknowledge her whatsoever. But I thought about, when I see her, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And there was one time where I almost acted out, for lack of better words. And I had to think about at that moment how much I had to lose. Like, right. I have too much to lose. And really, like, being arrested for fighting at this big age is a major inconvenience. You know what I mean? It's just a major inconvenience. But I applaud you. It shows a lot of growth. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to that. I know it had to hurt so bad to have your best friend betray you in that way.
Oh, absolutely. And there's parts of me that still haven't healed.
Yeah.
From that. And there's, you know, relationships that I've desired from other women, but I've been very fearful of, like, really connecting in that way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just takes time. And I've been, you know, doing therapy and doing all the things.
That's a good point, Stormy. Mm-hmm. You just made me realize, like, after dealing with that, because there's not a day that, like, in my head, I could be like, I'll slap the hell out of her.
No, for real.
But no, I mean, you know, sometimes I'll have that thought.
Yeah.
Just look at me wrong. All mm-hmm. right. Look at me wrong. But then the other part gives you grace, because mm-hmm. what kind of despicable human being must you be to sleep behind what I've dealt with? Mm-hmm. Right. What kind of despicable human being must your ex-best friend be to steal from her sister and leave you with nothing, you know, in that moment? And so when you think about it that way, you really have to start to give those people who betray you and hurt you a level of grace.
Absolutely.
Because what they may be dealing with, what they must be dealing with on the inside of them, has to be tormenting them in such a way that they are ready and willing to just risk it all.
Yeah. And you know what it's done? I can see through people so fast. And it's like giving me x-ray vision. Mm-hmm. Like, I can just see little, it's like body language, mm-hmm. it's facial expressions, it's tone of voice. I see those things now that I had missed previously, you know, because I spent hours going back through our friendship saying, what did I do?
And there was nothing, no sign. Y'all weren't beefing. There's no argument. I'm literally
on the plane, like, okay, girl, I'm on my way back from Atlanta. Let me call you when I get there. Hang up the phone on FaceTime, go to the apartment. I'm locked out.
That's insane. And she's like, okay, girl, see you when you get here.
Normal day.
And you guys didn't have any mutual friends to, like, tell you why, or she feels bad, or she did it because?
Nope. All of all the friends that we had in Memphis, where I was at, mm-hmm. those are her friends. And they kind of indoctrinated me in, because I had been in New York, you know. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't my crew.
Betrayal from a best friend will change you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in your situation, it was money. Mm-hmm. And I've had that happen before, too. Mm. In my situation, there was a significant relationship mm-hmm. involved. And as I think about it now, I don't really talk about, like, if I've dated, when I've dated since then. I never really went to my friend groups, or anybody for that matter, and said, oh yeah, his name is, and girl, look at his profile, because now it's like, nope, 6'3" with the blue shorts. Remember 6'3" I talked about with the blue shorts? Everybody is a code name, because why? And now it's like, you know, there was someone that I dated that friends were following, and when you see it traumatizes you, right?
No,
because
seriously.
It's like, why y'all still following him? What's up? What you got going on? Mm-hmm. What you doing? You know, and you don't want to feel that way.
No.
In relationship with anybody, but especially your sisters.
But it's real. And what I always think about is, okay, if I'm dealing with these things, and I just me and we kicking it off, what are you dealing with that I don't know about, right?
Yes.
Because people don't share their traumas on the first date. I be trying to ask people, tell me what I need to know so I know how to move with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be on point with the people that I want to love. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in the dark. Mm-hmm. But so many people are scared to just throw it out on the line, depending on, you know, the time frame that these traumas have happened, that it ends up causing these rifts in relationships that we could have solved by just being like, girl, listen, I got robbed, so when it comes to money, I don't play about that. I'm going to tell you right now, you owe me a dollar, you need to get my dollar back. On the day you said you was going to get my dollar, because I'm going to be mad, I will cut you off for that type of stuff. I don't play like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you from the show, so you know.
And that's a trauma response.
Yeah.
It's something that I hope that one day you work through, mm-hmm. you know, because even still, like, just like you let the retaliation go, sometimes we have to let the dollar go.
We right? do.
And we have to understand that not everybody is coming from her place. Mm-hmm. But the unfortunate part about when people betray you is that they're not thinking through how it impacts the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
The damage Absolutely. That you'll do to somebody else.
And that's how hurt works all the time. I think that people don't think eternally. You know, they're so in the moment type of beings, mm-hmm. or most people are living in the past. Most people have debt, so to say, that is lingering on from mm-hmm. their past, and they're never living in the moment or the future because they're constantly, you know, held on to the things that have already happened.
Girl.
And so when I like to think about things, I like to think about them eternally of mm-hmm. what are my decisions that I'm making today? How are they going to affect my grandkids, their kids, the lives of other people's families? You know, if I treat you wrong, you have a bad day. Now you at your house with your kids. And now this is something that traumatizes them. I really try to make decisions on an eternal basis, mm-hmm. you know, and not in the moment. And that takes a lot of restraint.
Yeah.
You know, because I do be wanting to cuss people out sometimes.
For sure. I mean, when you choose to live your life in a public way mm-hmm. and serve people the way that you do, the way that we do, mm-hmm. You will be held up to the fire of judgment, right? By people who know you, by people who don't know you. She's changed. Of course I have. How do mm-hmm. you think? How do you think I became this woman through change? But one of the things that helped me sleep at night is knowing my heart, mm-hmm. knowing my intention, and showing both, right? I think sometimes people use knowing my heart as a scapegoat because only you know your heart, but mm-hmm. what you're showing me is something that's conflicting right. with what you said your heart really right. is, right? And so I make it like one of my core values is literally integrity. Mm-hmm. And I look for that first and foremost in people. Mm-hmm. I also now look for how people deal with their own struggles. Mm. What do you run to? What can throw you off?
Say that.
What can cause you to get out of character?
Say that.
Because for me, I believe that this ex-friend of mine, and not just that situation, but I believe in that situation, that person was running from her own misery. Mm. And because I am thriving the way that I am, and especially at that time, it felt good mm-hmm. to go after something that would hurt me, mm. right? Because there was no reason for it. Like, there was no rationale. She was married. She is married. Mm. She's married. Wow. And you would throw our friendship away, and I've never said anything. I've never even spoken on this publicly. Mm. I know she gonna see it, though. Trifling
and
self.
I hope she do.
Both are our ex-best friends. You trifling and you trifling too. No, but I'm sorry that happened to you though.
Thank you.
And I hope that, you know, and we always have to work through these things.
Yeah.
Can't minimize it. It happened. It hurt. Extremely hurtful. And I hope you put a plan in place to kind of work through that so that you can trust again. Hey, hey, entrepreneur, are you looking for mentorship? Do you ever watch me here on the Social Proof Podcast or on Full Transparency and say, you know what? One day I want to work with Donnie. Great news. You absolutely can. Join me inside my community, Actionable CEO, where we help to develop new habits, grow you personally, professionally, and financially, help you take massive action in your business, ultimately helping you make more money. It's just $97 a month. We meet every single week. We have a book club. We do live co-working sessions. When I'm in your city, you guys get to connect with me in person and so much more. Don't take my word for it. Go over to actionableceo.com. Check out the page and see if it's a good fit for you. If so, I'll see you on the inside. Well, obviously you're trusting again.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at the ring and I see your man sitting over here.
And no, we talk, you gotta,
right. I see you. Fix your hair right here for me.
Excuse me.
You know, fix your hair right excuse here. Me. Show it off. Let's talk about it. We mentioned it briefly before we turned on the cameras, but I believe I am in this season of just really appreciating love. Mm-hmm. I love seeing people in love so much. I cannot wait to feel that again
yeah.
for my own self. And I know that it's getting close because I am intentionally seeking out the love story behind everybody else. And it makes me happy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've ever experienced it or ever heard, like, there are sometimes men and women are in seasons where other people's love stories make them sick.
Mm.
They can't take it because they want it so bad, or what they're dealing with at home is so miserable that seeing you happy and blissful is like misery for them. I am in a place where it literally brings me joy. And I believe because there's so much negativity on the internet, all of this like man against woman and who's not good enough and why she'll never measure up. Seeing you as this powerhouse CEO, you are an employer, you are strong, you have overcome your own trials and tribulations, you figured it out in the beginning by yourself. You are the woman that these podcasts say are undesirable to black men. Let's talk about it. And you met your black man being that woman.
Yeah. And I didn't have to change for it either. You know, I think that for me personally with relationships, it's all about understanding each other's strengths and weaknesses and playing on those things. I was also very clear on the things that I wanted, and most of them were not material at all. Most of them were everything to do with, you know, how do you love your family? How do we all get along? You know, can you cook? You know, there was like actual things that I wanted from the person more than I'm just looking for somebody who can help me pay my bills and, and do this whole thing. That wasn't even on my agenda. I'm like, I already have that stuff.
So this was actually on your agenda? These were things that you were thinking about and planning for?
Yeah. All of my siblings, three of them are married. Well, three including me. They're 50-50 households. I grew up in a 50-50 household. You know, I grew up with a working mother. That stuff is kind of normal for me. Like, I expect for my fiance to, you know, take care of major bills, and I'll take care of groceries and, you know, whatever else we got to do, or house decor. Like, I probably end up spending more than him with doing all the other little stuff. So for me, it's just normal to just be in partnership with people and to treat my man like I would treat my friend or my brother, you know, and everything else in that aspect. So I don't see why people have such a hard time. I mean, now if they're having a hard time following qualified man,
okay,
then that's one thing. But is it because of the expectations that they have of what they're looking for, or are they not clear on, you know, what they actually want yet? Like, that's what I think the struggle is.
Yeah. I think lack of clarity in what you actually want is the biggest struggle. I personally believe that there are a lot of, I don't like the man and woman or man versus woman dynamic. I believe that there's a space where we both reside in the same, with the same issues at any given time, right? So to say that, what I'm saying is, I believe that sometimes men have expectations of women that they don't really want. It just looks desirable for other people. And so they've convinced themselves that they need this, you know, the beauty queen who's always made up and hair's always done, makeup's always done. She's bad. She's super fine. She's this, that, and the other, and or whatever these things are that they've convinced themselves that they need. And then women, on the other hand, have convinced themselves that they need a particular thing. He's got to make all this money and be a certain height and pay all the bills and whatever those things are. I think that, for me, what I don't understand is that I know why these thought processes exist. And it's because today, majority, it's because of what people are seeing on social media. Everybody's couple's goals, right? Oh, he took her on another trip. He purchased her another Rolls Royce. He did this for her. And oh, she doesn't have to lift a finger. And they never argue, right? And what I don't understand is every other day, we are getting news of those same couple goals being getting divorced, filing for divorce,
cheating,
lying, abusing,
all kind of stuff,
all the things. And to me, what doesn't make sense is, like, don't you get it by now that these things are so superficial?
Thank you.
These things were never happening the way that people put presented. This, the mm-hmm. way it was presented, these things were never happening that way. So if you use your context clues, mm-hmm. if not anything else, shouldn't you already know to base your desires, wants, and needs off of things that are more real and fulfilling?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that will help a lot of people actually find love, mm-hmm. you know, is because there's not even that many people who are, you know, making seven figures mm-hmm. a year, who are 6'3", 6'5", like, mm-hmm. you know, that's hard to find already.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of people for that. So if we're going off of those standards, it's going to be a lot of people single because there's yeah. just not enough to go around. And then on top of that, I really have this desire to, my thing is always sustainability. Mm. I say that almost every day of my life. I'm like, how do we make this sustainable? Day one, I was taking my wig off with the braids in the wig Same. Cap.
You can take me swimming, baby.
I'm cool. You know, let me tell you something. We're not finna even try to fake the funk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was showing my real self from jump. It wasn't like, hey, this is what you get every day. I'm cooking. I'm doing all this. Hey, I'm not cooking today. You know, take it or like, it's just, I'm going to be myself so that you know what you're signing up for.
Yeah.
And I expect you to do the same because I don't want to be tricked in a year.
Yes.
So for
Rub
me.
Rub that hairline real. Let me, can I just do that real quick to your hairline?
Baby, let me wash your hair. I wanted to give you a massage day.
Can I do that real quick to your hair? Let me do that real quick to your hair.
Because now they're wearing toupees.
Now they're wearing toupees. Let me massage your scalp. And no, I'm not cooking every day in lingerie because that influencer was on the internet and you think you like that. First of all,
no.
I'm not about to burn myself on this pot for you in these little bitty clothes.
That oil pops.
The oil pops, babe.
Do you understand? I need to have on sweatpants, Listen, long sleeves.
Do you want this to taste good or Thank no?
Because the lingerie ain't it.
The lingerie is not
It's not going to do it.
It's not. And trust me, it took them 20 minutes to set those camera angles up.
Hello.
And then they kicked those little kitten heels off and they got busy in the kitchen.
And
for
they
real.
Ordered from Uber Eats.
They ordered from pans. Uber Eats and put it in pans and presented you content. All right. A lot of us, a lot of you will have better relationships or better expectations that's based on quality
mm-hmm.
if you stop falling in love with people's content.
Yes. You know, the whole romanticizing,
mm-hmm.
you know, era that's mm-hmm. out right now.
That's what we're in.
Yeah. And even women who are in relationships, they'll look at what someone else is doing or receiving and they'll be challenging their man on those things. You really do have to get real with, like, this is what I expect. Mm-hmm. Like, this is literally what I need. And it takes a lot of time to be alone. Like, I was so grateful to be single for many years. And I lived by myself for many years. Like, I still solo travel. That's going to be in our prenup. You know, it's like,
Hold
spend
up.
Time.
It's going to be in the what?
It's going to be in the prenup.
Okay.
Yeah. I have to take time to learn, unlearn, and relearn myself continuously.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just be the best me in yeah. all realms. And yeah. so I think that was one thing that was really helpful for me with, you know, dating is that I knew exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. Not even, hey, these are the things that I want. Mm, yeah, this would look good. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we got physical attraction. Cool. Are you going to give me what I need?
Yeah.
To like survive.
I love hearing that because I get asked all the time, well, Donnie, why are you so single? You know, so single. I'm so single.
That was crazy.
Nobody has ever asked me why am I so single.
That was crazy.
But why are you single? And the answer that I really have is because I need it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I need it to be for a period of time. Like, I've dated and I'm typically in long-term relationships. I just don't always share that with y'all. But I am typically in I'm a relationship person, but because we are constantly changing, we're constantly evolving, we have to be super intentional. And I just, in the last maybe 3 years, I've learned what being intentional actually means.
Mm.
I think that people throw that word around so loosely, like, oh, I'm intentional about this.
And right.
But you're not really, your actions aren't lining up with any level of intent.
Mm-hmm.
And intent sometimes is this afterthought or this in the whim kind of thought of, oh, you know what? I want this. Let me go out and get it.
Right.
That's not intentional.
Right.
I had to become super intentional about getting to know who I was as a human being. Not as a mom, not as somebody's friend, not as somebody's daughter, not as somebody's future wife. But who's Donnie? And what do I really need? So when you said that you spend a lot of time alone, it's so difficult for people to understand that women actually, and men too, mm-hmm. but we actually need that time by ourselves to find what truly and organically makes us happy.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. 'Cause if you don't know and you're in a relationship or in business or in friendship, you're going to constantly be seeking something from someone that they probably can't offer. Mm-hmm. It'll be probably an unrealistic expectation mm-hmm. because you haven't gotten to the root of like, okay, why do I feel like I need somebody who makes seven figures? Mm-hmm. Is that really what I need to survive? Because I'm not making seven figures.
Right.
Or if you are making seven figures, do I actually use seven figures every year to mm-hmm. live? Like what, mm-hmm. where's the root from that actually right. stemming from? Right. And I'm telling you, you got to go try some things out. If you still have, if your whole list for relationships on the friend level or the romantic is all material vibes, mm-hmm. you know, cute mm-hmm. aesthetic things, mm-hmm. you gotta go try some things.
Try some things out.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know if it's an age thing, but I lost the... I've never been... So growing up in Atlanta... I was born in New Orleans, but I grew up and have lived most of my life here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And growing up in Atlanta, especially like in your early 20s, around that time frame, you got access to like all kind of guys, mm-hmm. right? And I've never been the girl that's into that guy, mm-hmm. you know, like the one with all the money and the one who's standing on the sofa in the club, like... I was always turned off by yeah. that. I like the one who's over there just kind of chilling mm-hmm. with his cup in his hand doing his thing. He's not chasing down all the women. He's not on the scene. He's not pulling on every girl who walks by. I always liked that guy. So I believe that the expectations or the desires that I have today are healthy, but I also believe that they've always kind of been healthy. Because I have always been... obviously outside of a couple of seasons when I experienced great loss, but because for the most part at my age or for my age, I've always been pretty successful here, especially in Atlanta, men will accuse you of being a gold digger because you've got your own. Mm. Like what gold do you have for me to dig, sir? Kind sir. I'm on a date with you. And you think I'm the gold digger? From what gold?
Right.
But people will give you, like, if you're attractive and if you have nice things and you like nice things. I don't apologize for, like, liking nice things. But also, yeah. I've always provided that for myself. So because I will continue to provide that for myself, that's not anything that's necessarily on my list anymore. Right. For me, my list these days, and I do have a list.
Yeah, what is it? Give us some.
And it's lengthy.
Okay.
It's lengthy because I really sat after my last relationship a few years ago. I literally sat down and said, "What? Let's be more intentional." Mm-hmm. Because I got what I had been asking for.
Okay.
I left some things off the list, though. Okay. And right. so I needed to go back to the drawing board. And I ran into this Instagram post where somebody had made like a funny video where he was sitting in the car outside of his home, not wanting to go in mm-hmm. because he didn't want to hear his wife's mouth. Mm. It was freedom for him to be in that car. And he was like dreading going inside. And so I'm reading through the comments and everybody else thinks this is funny, mm-hmm. but I'm looking at all the men and all the women who are like, oh my God, 'cause half the time I can't stand my wife. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all complain about 9-to-5s and it's a break for me. And that's, I immediately put it on my list. Yeah, my husband deep. Is happy to come home to me.
That's deep.
Right? That's really deep.
Yeah.
Like, do you really want to be in, because I've been in situations where I loved you significantly, but I don't like to be around you all the time.
And that's real.
And that's really real. And so for me, it's like my husband is happy to come home to me and I am happy to come home to my husband. Mm-hmm. It's like things like that. My husband speaks well about me behind my back
yeah.
and in my face, right? Right? My husband affirms me. It's more characteristic than it is for me tangibles. On my list, there's not one thing about he makes seven figures.
Right.
but he is successful.
Right.
And successful doesn't always mean seven figures, right? For sure. I have a deep desire to build something mm-hmm. with someone. And so the potential in that is more exciting for me than a ready-made package, yeah. right? That doesn't mean that I won't take a ready-made package. It just also doesn't mean that that's what I require.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was like that too. My list was all habits. All habits. It was like he calls his mom 3 times a week. He takes 2 showers every day. He brushes his teeth after every meal. It was literally his everyday habits. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, I'll know who my person is when they have these habits, because these habits will create the man that I'm looking for today, tomorrow, and the next day. Mm-hmm. Because if we're understanding that how a person, you know, is habitually, mm-hmm. we understand that's who they're going to become long term.
Yes.
And so I only was focused on, for me, honestly, it wasn't even like, okay, I don't care if you have 7 figures, because if you spend your money poorly, yes. you will not have 7 figures in 10 years.
Yes. And to your point, you said something about the woman or whoever saying they got to make 7 figures. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, do you, or mm-hmm. do you even spend it? Get to the root of it. And it's not that you require that someone make 7 figures. It's that you want to travel quarterly. Mm-hmm. You want to live in a great zip code. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to put your children in private school. Like, really get clear about right. those things. And you'll see that that doesn't really require 7 figures.
Yeah.
Is it that for you, the root, or is the root a vanity metric? And you just want to be able to say, girl, my husband makes 7 figures.
Right. What is it? Mm-hmm. That's what you have to figure out. Mm-hmm. But you know, yeah, so my list was habitual activities.
Okay, I'm tell like, me what's on, because I may, let me jot them down. Hold on.
It's literally, okay, I don't want him to spend his time smoking.
Anything.
Yeah, I don't like weed. I don't yeah. like drugs. I don't mm-hmm. like, you know, smoking stuff. Also, I don't want him to have to drink every weekend to wind down.
Yeah.
You know, I also wanted him to have really good hygiene practices on a daily basis. I wanted him to have good hygiene practices. Mine was also, you know, I wanted him to be frugal and economical with his money that he has. Family was a big thing, so I wanted him to like talk to his people weekly. Like mm-hmm. I didn't want to be like, how long, hey, you ain't talked to your mama all month? True. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mine was habitual stuff, and I think that allowed me to see what I could sustain with that person, you know, because once you start living with a person, chow, moving in is a whole nother thing they didn't tell you about. Becoming a fiance, that is a transition that you actually have to take. Mm. I wasn't ready for the extra, you know, needs once someone actually is like, no, it's now us together. Because when you're yeah. dating, yeah, you're exclusively dating, whatever the case may be. But like now, hey, we're engaged to be married. So now we're about to like start locking in different things. I was like under pressure real quick. It was a big transition for me. I had to like take some time off work. I like really needed some time.
Really?
Yes.
Like, give me something. What was a really big transition piece for you?
Moving in was the biggest.
Okay.
Like that, I had
sharing
lived,
your space.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had lived alone for so long that I was like, put that back. Do that. Yeah. Like, and he would be like, you're nagging a lot. And I'd be like, I'm just trying to remind you. Like
I'm so sorry.
Put stuff back. But it was like, you know, dang, I have to also share this space. Like, mm-hmm. it's not all about how I want to see it and come home to it be. It's like, he's using the space and wants to be at peace here too. So how do you
find that balance?
It's, you know what? We still have a lot of differences mm-hmm. in how we like to enjoy home. Because me, I like to make it look like a magazine and it looks like nobody lives there. Mm-hmm. You know, Sean likes a lived in look. Mm-hmm. So we have to, you have to give those soft reminders.
So is it possible, Sean, that the bedroom can look lived in, but the rest of the home can look magazine-esque? Would that be a fair compromise to you guys?
I created my own.
Oh, yeah. Now he got his own
okay,
whole
so
room.
Okay, so now you have your, you can live in it as much.
His room is as you lived want. In. He enjoys that room.
Yeah.
I don't even open the door in that room. I literally be like, knock, knock, just come on out, because I don't even want to see. You live good and at peace. And I love that for him. Like, again, it gives us time to have space.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to his uncle. His uncle's, how old is Uncle Greg? 64.
Okay.
We talked to his uncle. They've been married for, you know, 30 years and change. We asked him, he was like, what's the key? He was like, she go to her room, I go to my room. I walk down to her wing, say, hey, how you doing? Watch a TV and go back to my room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so people need to stop trying to be on each other all day long. Like, mm-hmm. you need to, like, give each other some freedom to do your own things mm-hmm. without the expectation of living how you want me to live or looking how you want me to look. I'm telling you, that room, man cave, that's the best thing going.
It made all the difference.
Oh my gosh.
I can see myself struggling with that. I am so particular about how I like things. Now, I probably was a nag when it came to the space, because
yeah.
I'm clean. And I have a philosophy that someone should be able to call you and say, hey, I'm down the street and your home is ready to receive guests within 15 minutes.
At maximum, rather.
Like 15 minutes. If it takes you more than 15 minutes to get the home guest ready, you're nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just how I feel.
No, for real.
And I understand that that might be a little bizarre for some people, but mm-hmm. that's how I live my life, right? And I remember being in a relationship where, because I was so OCD about the bathroom, my ex used the guest bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can't never have company, because you done been in that bathroom and doing stuff. It's like beard hair everywhere. And it drives me insane.
Literal.
But I figured it out. I know what I need.
Okay.
So what I do know, and you can't say this is impossible, because I've experienced this. My ex and I, he purchased a home for us. Mm-hmm. We thought we would get married. The relationship didn't work out. But we were on the same page. Mm-hmm. Our master bathroom suite was his and hers of all things. Our own showers,
mm-hmm.
our own toilet closets, our own vanities, our own linen stations. His and hers, everything. So you go on in your little toilet closet and mm-hmm. do whatever you want to do, baby.
I love that.
I'm going to be over here. And so I have literally been thinking through. So when I say, you know, successful, that means that together we need to be able to have
yeah,
his and hers bathroom. Mm-hmm. Because that's what makes me happy. Like, I want to be comfortable in my home.
Absolutely.
I don't want to walk in the bathroom and be concerned about if you use the bathroom in the dark and what am I about to walk into. I don't want to have to clean up before I brush my teeth.
Right.
You know, and so I think that when we start, again, being real about with ourselves and understanding and uncovering what each other's triggers are early, we can start putting plans in place.
Yes.
And I believe that relationships don't work a lot because we try to understand people's triggers versus planning for how we handle people's triggers.
There's
a difference.
I like that. Very mm-hmm. proactive.
Like, sure, I understand that you have childhood trauma that makes you not trust. Okay, mm-hmm. I get it. I understand that. But now when we're in a situation where you don't trust me, I don't like that very much.
Right.
I didn't plan for that, right? So what do we need to do to help you trust me, and then also let me communicate how that lack of trust makes me feel? We need to plan for this in advance. Be proactive about it, not just understanding that those things exist.
Right. Girl, I like that.
I've done so much growing.
That is really good. That's mm-hmm. really good. I'm going to talk about that in our next couples therapy. We're doing a premarital counseling.
I love that.
Yeah, which is really, really, really good to kind of help with the proactiveness. I'm going to mm-hmm. ask her for more proactive planning tools on our next one, because it's so much to unpack, and you
so
have a
much.
Whole life together if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
And you want to be happy. I'm not about to be miserable.
Yeah.
Because I'm not I love people, but I actually am really a recluse. I could literally sit in my bed at home all day. Day.
Me too.
All day, okay?
And be so productive, though.
Everything is done.
Everything is done right here from bed.
Everything is done. Like, Sean will literally, he'll be like, you need to go outside and feel some sun and breathe, because I will literally sit in there for, like, weeks. I will not go outside. But that's a big thing for me, is, like, being happy and comfortable and at peace. And I want to love my life. Mm-hmm. I genuinely want to love my life. I saw my mother go through, she was married to an addict, you mm-hmm. know, for 15 years. And I'm just like, girl was miserable, mm-hmm. terribly mm-hmm. stressed out, nails bitten down to the cuticle bed.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend 20 years of my life doing that. Yeah. You know, I want to be at peace, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, those are things.
That's it right there, Stormy. Mm-hmm. It's about being at peace.
Yeah.
That, I mean, like, you guys that are watching this, if you ever wonder what life is about, it's about experiencing peace while you're breathing. Mm-hmm. Finding what ultimately brings you peace is the real cheat code. And we overlook that because, especially as women, we're running the businesses or we're supporting our spouses or our significant others in businesses. We're moms or we're stepmoms or we're going to become moms and we're wives. And we usually absorb other people's everything. And we're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. And we don't get to, oftentimes, unless you're super intentional about it, we don't get to stop for a second and say, wait a minute. Like, I understand that these things don't bring me peace, but what actually does?
Right.
What actually brings you peace? And if I can get anything from this conversation, I would encourage everybody to, like, really sit down and be intentional about figuring out what brings you peace.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it out. And that's in across all boards.
Right.
Like, people think it's just, you know, at home, but it's in your business, too. Your business should not be stressing you out.
It should not be.
Like, period. Get some systems. Get some help. Delegate some stuff, because I tell my team daily, I will resign. Do not stress me out.
And of course, there will be seasons, right, where a little turbulence could be involved. But if generally when you think about your business and it stresses you out, you need to create a new plan.
Yeah.
If you think about your relationship and it stresses you out, you need to create a new plan.
Right.
If your friendships, the thought of it stresses you out, you have to create a new plan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Stormy, what brings you peace?
Right now, what's bringing me peace is honestly being obedient is really, really, really bringing me peace. I have so much pleasure in following the downloads that I get from my source on a daily basis because it allows me to live in a space where I know this is going to work. There's no worry. There's no doubt. There's no fear because I'm being obedient. Mm-hmm. And I just know that that's just, it's like I'm getting tingles. It's like an overwhelming feeling to just know that you're following your calling and doing what you're supposed to do. And I know a lot of people, probably some who are watching this, even they delay so much, even though they know there's that thing telling them it's time to move, it's time to move, but they continuously delay. And then they wonder why. They're stressed. They wonder why they're depressed. They wonder why they're discouraged. And I'm like, because you're being disobedient, you're not going to find peace not doing what you were asked to do.
Yeah.
And so that's what brings me peace, child.
How do you know when you've been asked?
You have to get quiet. You have to get quiet because you have to hear. You have to be able to listen. And you have to be very careful of what you listen to because it will muck up the calling. Mm-hmm. That's music, podcast, anything. You have to get really clear and quiet. You know when you've been called. For me, I get hard. I was hard-headed for a long time, and it kind of was like a when I hit rock bottom kind of thing. It was like, okay, I got to find something. And I knew I was called because there wasn't anything else to do. But now in this season, I know that I've been called. I think it's going to go right circle back. I know that it's a calling when I am at peace.
Mm.
I think that is how I really know.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to explain, I guess. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It's an internal thing.
Because for me, sometimes it brings discomfort,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily peace,
mm-hmm.
but it brings a discomfort that I am willing to go through,
mm-hmm.
right? There's some discomfort that I can just easily say, absolutely not.
Right.
But then there's this nagging discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I know that I'm being called to something when it continues to circle back.
Mm.
Continues to circle back. And That's not the only metric, though, because sometimes some things will spin the block and it's not for you.
Right.
It's not sent. Right. When you think about, like, okay, why does this keep coming back?
Yeah.
And you sit down and you get really clear, and maybe some, I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. I like to write things down. I will write things down and say, and determine, well, is this coming back? If I do it, is it in alignment with what I said I'm doing with this life?
Right.
Right. And if it's in alignment with where I'm going in my life, then it's a calling. Yeah. I've been called to do it.
Yeah.
If it's out of alignment, like, no, that comes with, if I do this, then that's going to mean I can't do this, or I can't do that, or I'm going to feel like this, or it won't be peaceful ever. Then that's kind of how I know that that's not a calling. It's a test.
I feel that. I feel right? that. Because there are those those uncomfortable, you know, moments when you're like, dang, I got to make a shift. And you're kind of like nervous about it. Like, oh, man, you know, I can feel that for sure.
Yeah. But you know that that shift is going to produce a greater output for you. Right. Yeah, I definitely do. I love that. Do you have anything that you're challenged with right now? Like some things that you're dealing with and you're like, look, I really need some help.
I've actually talked to a couple of my homegirls about this. I am probably struggling the most with the idea of potentially becoming a mom.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing for me. Mm-hmm. And it's a topic in our relationship constantly. I like to keep as little responsibilities in my life as possible, because I feel like if anything happens to me, it's easy to be managed by someone else. I'm constantly, again, thinking eternally of like how I'm setting people up.
Mm-hmm.
And, I do not see what life would look like on a day-to-day basis with a kid right now or in the future. And that's really been hard for me to cope with, because also my fiance wants kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that I would have a good relationship as a mom with a child, you know? So I'm really struggling with the concept of motherhood, because I haven't found anything that I want to do all day.
Yeah. I struggled with becoming a mom. Now, I became a mom very young. I got pregnant at 22, had my daughter at 23. But I was not the little girl who imagined herself as a mom or a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the imaginary weddings in my head. And I still haven't seen that for me. Mm-hmm. Right. I just don't. And so that was a challenge for me. When I got pregnant, I was scared out of my mind. Mm-hmm. There was no question that I would become a mother once I became pregnant with her. But it was like, now the responsibility and having to be somebody's everything. And yes, the labor and delivery part of it all, right? Everything. And your choice is your choice. But what I will say is that I hear that often.
Yeah.
We have so much responsibility already that sometimes adding another bit of responsibility just freaks us out.
Yeah.
But you've accomplished so much greatness in your life that if you decide, and that's a choice that you guys have to make, if you decide, most women, and I won't say all, but many women that I speak to on the other side of it, after they've become a mom, say things like, I don't know why I was so worried to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Or it just feels natural. I didn't know how I would be somebody's mom. And my daughter today is 22.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still sometimes like, I'm somebody's whole mama out here. Because every phase of life for her, she experiences different things and she needs me in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to show up for her in a different way. And after resolving things or helping her through things or dealing through navigating certain challenges or cutting the strings a little bit because she's an adult now, each time it requires a different version of me or me to show up differently. And sometimes, girl, I'd be like, look, I cannot believe that I am somebody's mom.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade it for the world. And this is coming from someone who originally never thought that they wanted kids.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, it has to be your choice.
Right.
Right. It has to be something that you, because becoming a parent is forever.
Right.
It's forever. It's a thing that's forever. So really dig down deep. And I would encourage you, talk to your therapist and find out what's the root of the reservation.
Yeah, that's what I got to get to.
Yeah, what's the root of the reservation? You mentioned something about seeing your mom struggle in relationships, and it could be something that's connected to your own childhood. But whatever you choose, we are here for it.
Yes.
Whatever you choose. Listen, it has been an absolute pleasure to sit on this sofa and talk to you. I am super. First of all, I have to ask you if you would come into my community and talk about grants.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would love to have you come in the community, because I believe that it's a conversation that's so necessary.
Yeah.
I believe that also we've just got to dispel the thoughts around who qualifies, what it is, and what it takes, where to find them, all those things. This is a very necessary conversation.
Absolutely.
And I'm so happy that we've had it today. Do you have any classes or anything coming up, or is there a frequency of classes?
Yeah, we're having one July 22nd.
Okay.
It's $5. Anybody could join.
$5.
Yes.
And that's probably just to make sure they show up.
Yeah, and to pay for the Zoom.
That's it.
Just pay for the Zoom.
$5, July 12th. If you happen to see this episode after July 12th, I'm sure you always have some kind of class or something. Yeah. Stormy's links will be tagged wherever you are seeing this video. And as usual, make sure you comment something that stood out for you in this episode. Are you out here now, ready and eager to apply for grants? You're like, Stormy, I need your information. What's up? Did you resonate with her personal journey? Just tell me what stood out for you in this episode. Stormy, if you can close us out with any last words. This audience is an audience full of entrepreneurs, and I already know they are looking at you the way that I am looking at you, just in admiration and pride. Anybody ever told you you look like Coco Jones? Is that
every
her name?
Every day.
You are stunning.
Every day. Thank you. Every day.
You really are. I'm sitting here like, something by my hand.
Literally every day.
Close us out, Stormy, and I'm going to let you get out of here.
Well, thank you guys for watching, and thank you, Donnie, for having me. One thing I will tell anyone on here is, trust the process, like really trust the process and be okay with going through the journey. It's never going to get easier, but you will get better. So I am grateful that you are trying, and I hope to continuously see you going along your journey.
Well, there we have it, you guys. Stormy Banks, the grant writer herself. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Full Transparency. We will see you next week. Bye.
That was great. Good.